Beginning here on the top of Kugimu and Aleph by the Mishnah, the Mishnah says, Kol shela zachah mizbeach bibsara, if the mizbeach does not get the basar of the korban, lo zachua kohanim be'ora, then the kohanim are not entitled to their portion, which is the or, the hide of the animal. Shenemar, so they're quoting the pasuk with regards to the parts of the ola that belong to the kohanim, which is ha-kohen ha-makriv et olat ish, or ha-ola asher yikriv la-kohen lo yiyeh. So the ability of the kohen to get the or of the ola is predicated on the mizbeach getting the basar. Now, the pasuk says olat ish, ola sha'alta le-ish. It has to be an ola that is good for an individual. Now, the truth is that that's not really a proof to the statement of the Mishnah, because the Mishnah says that as long as the basar gets on the mizbeach, then the or belongs to the kohanim. Over here, the proof text is olat ish, olat sha'alta le-ish, which means that an individual got the benefit of that korban, that it was successful providing whatever it was to that individual. The truth is, we're going to see in the next line of the Mishnah that that's not the case, because we have olah shenishchata shlo dishma. If you have an olah that's brought shlo dishma, afal pish lo alta lebalim. Despite the fact that it's not successful at discharging the obligation of the balim, or rather kohanim. The or belongs to the kohanim. That goes to the first line of the Mishnah, which is, if the mizbeach gets the basar, the kohanim get the or. Over here, the mizbeach does get the basar, but the olat ish, it's not alta leish. It's not successful at discharging of the obligation of an ish, of an individual, because the individual over here does not discharge the obligation, because as we know from the first mission of Masechta, that when you do it shlo lishma, even though the korban is kasher, it's not oleh the baalim. So you have to explain she'ola she'alta le'ish based on what the Gemara is going to later bring in a braita that continues to darshan that pasuk and to say that not only is if it discharges the obligation of an individual, even if it doesn't discharge the obligation of an individual, as long as the korban is kasher, if the korban is somehow pasul, then it won't work, and the kohanim will not be entitled to the orot. So you have to explain it in that context. I would have maybe suggested, she'alta le'ish, sometimes we have this, for instance, with regards to Ritzei, in Davening, where we have the safek about Ishe Yisrael, where that's referencing to Ish, Anashim of Israel, or Ishe Yisrael refers to the Ish, the Ishim, those that are put on the Mizbeach. And you could possibly argue over here the same thing, which is, olat Ish, olash alta le'ish, that has gone on the ishim, that has gone on the fire, or the pyre. I think that's a possible explanation. It's not the pashtut, or the pasuk, or the mishnah, but that may be a possible explanation over here. So now, the Gemara says, echad ola ha'ish, echad olat ha'isha. It's irrespective of whether it's an ola that belongs to a man, or an ola that belongs to a woman. You might have thought, because it says, olat ish, that it's only about the olot of anashim, not about nashim. Nevertheless, the mishnah tells us that whether it's male or female that's bringing the korban, orotem the kohanim, it belongs to the kohanim, and again, we'll learn that from a riboy in the Gemara. Orot kodeshim kalim lebalim, the orot of kodeshim kalim, just like the basar that belongs to the balim, so do the hides belong to the balim. Orot kodeshim kodeshim the kohanim, the hides of kodeshim kodeshim, which we have no information about from the Torah, they belong to the kohanim, kal v'chomer. It is a logical argument or a logical inference from olah. Ma'im olah shelo zachu b'sara. By the case of an olah where they are not entitled to the basar, zachu b'ora, they are entitled to the or, kodshei kodashim shezachu b'sara. In the case of kodshei kodashim where they are entitled to the basar, it's eaten by the zichrei kuna in the azara, enudin shizku b'ora, certainly they should be entitled to the hides of the kodshei kodashim. Now, the one thing you could have said is that there's a way to undermine this kal v'chomer from the mizbeach. Because the mizbeach, in the case of an olah, gets the bisara, but doesn't get the or. That's explicit in the psukim in the Torah, that the or of an olah goes to the kohanim. So in a case where you get the basar, it doesn't mean that you get the hide. The mizbeach is proof of that. Mizbeach gets the basar, and yet doesn't get the or by an olah. But the Mishnah tells us, ein mizbeach yuchiach. Mizbeach is not a way to undermine this kal v'chomer, she'en lo or b'chol makom, because it has no relevance with a hide. There is never or that ends up in the mizbeach. If you had places where or ended up in the mizbeach, and then in the case of olah, it doesn't go in the mizbeach, then you have a proof that by an olah, the basar goes on the mizbeach, and yet it doesn't get the or. But if the mizbeach never gets or, then there's no proof from the fact that the basar of the olah goes on the mizbeach, and no or goes on the mizbeach. Because or is not relevant to the mizbeach at all. And therefore, it's not a pircha to the Kal Vachomer. So now we're going to bring a series of brightot that are basically going to help us understand the limudim that we saw in the Mishnah. Tan Rabbanan, olat ish, prat, lolat hekdesh. When it says olat ish in the pasuk, what is that coming to exclude? So here the brightot tells us it's coming to exclude olat hekdesh, which again is somewhat amorphous, ambiguous term. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. And the Gemara will ask, what does that mean? Miyosi Rabbi Yehuda Omer, prat lolat gerim. Comes to exclude the olah of gerim. Once again, it's not clear here what exactly that means, but he's saying olat ish and not olat gerim. So we have Tanakama, Rabbi Yehuda, suggesting that olat ish comes to exclude the case of olat ekdesh. Miyosi Rabbi Yehuda is saying that it's coming to exclude the olat gerim. And now the Gemara is going to ask, what does that mean? My prat lolat ekdesh. What exactly does it mean that olat ish, where the Kohanim are entitled to the or to the hide, that's true there. But by olat hekdesh, they're not entitled to the or, they're not entitled to the hide. What exactly is olat hekdesh that they're not entitled? So Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef prat lo'ola haba'a min hamotarot. It comes to exclude an olah that comes from the excess, from those things that are left over. So motarot are situations in which there is leftover monies. Or in a situation, for instance, where an asham has to be nitak l'ri'iyah, that has to be go out to graze until it gets a mum and then it's sold, and those monies then are given to what's called the olot nidava. So those olot nidava, which come from excess cash, for instance, if you separated monies to purchase a korban, and you have leftover monies from that, you have a korban that got lost, and you then separated out monies to replace it, and then found the original korban. There are many instances where there are monies that were excesses. Those excesses are then given to the Mikdash and classified as what's called multarot, the extras, and they become olot nidava. They become olot that go on the Mizbeach. So the suggestion here is that olot of a yachid, olot of an ish, they have this entitlement of the Kohanim to the hides, because that's olat ish. Olat hekdesh, where it's coming from the Kodesh side, meaning that the people have given the money to hekdesh in order to facilitate their ability to put olot on the Mizbeach, those olot that have no real ba'alim to them, if they really belong to the tzibur, then the Kohanim there have no rights to the olot, to the hides of those animals. Hanicha l'mandamar motarot l'nitvat tzibur. That works well according to the one who says that these excesses, or these extraneous monies, go towards nitvat tzibur, which is a machloket in the Gemara in Tmura, as to what is the usage of these monies. Do these monies go towards nitvat tzibur, or are they nitvat yachid? Now, in both cases, they end up as an olah on the mizbeach. The difference will be, first of all, who has to fund the nisachim that come along with them, the minchat nisachim, and the wine libations that come along with the korban. Who funds that? If they're nitvat tzibur, the monies go to the coffers of the tzibur, to hekdesh, then the tzibur or hekdesh will fund the nisachim. If they come from the yachid, then that person has to then fund the nisachim to be brought along with the korban olah. If it belongs to the yachid, meaning it's an olat yachid, then he does smicha on the animal, because it's his olah. If it's olat tzibur, there is no smicha on the animal. So these are differences that come up in this machloket, as to whether it belongs to the tzibur, or it belongs to the yachid. Gemara says here, anich l'man demar motarot nidvat tzibur azlei. If you believe that these excesses go towards the shofarot and the mikdash that then fund the keitza mizbeach or keitza mizbeach, the times when the mizbeach is batel, that they put these olot on the mizbeach, then this works well. Because over there, it's not olat ish, it is olat hekdesh. It really isn't owned by anybody. There are really no balim to this korban. And therefore it makes sense that maybe the hides shouldn't belong to the kohanim. Balei Tosafot do ask over here that according to the one who says that motarot l'nitvat hatzibur, then how is that different than a case of the olat tamid or any of the korbanot hatzibur that are brought as an olah? The Balei Tosafot say v'yeshtamar disvaru. There is a logical distinction, which is the mutei tfei motarot makes more sense to eliminate these motarot that are going towards nitvat hatzibur. Shim tayumi kar le'ish, because they once belonged to an ish, and now they no longer belong to an ish. Therefore, they're precluded from olat ish. On the other hand, the olat tamid, or the korbanot tzibur, which never belong to an ish, they're not going to be excluded from the orot going to the kohanim, just because it says olat ish in the pasuk. If you believe that these excesses or extraneous monies go towards the individual bringing a korban olah, For instance, if he has an asham that mitkapru baleha, so in the case of a chatat, that's meta. In the case of an asham, it's yireh ad sheyistaev, goes out to graze until it gets a mum. Then once it gets a mum, it's sold, and the monies that are garnered from that sale are there put towards an olah. So if you believe that it goes towards an olah teyachid, it means that individual will take those monies, purchase an olah, and bring an olah. But then if that's the case, how is that any different than olat ish? It's similarly an olat ish over here. So ma'ika the meimar. What are you going to say in this case? Kid amar Rova, like Rava says, ha olah, olah rishona. So Rava interprets the word ha olah, which is brought in the Sukkim with regards to the Trumat Adeshin, which is, Ba'etam is back to God Bolo Techbeh, Ve'aleh Kohen Eitzim Baboker Baboker, Ve'arach Aleh Ha'ola, Ve'ktir Aleh Chalvei Hashlamim. So that Ha'ola over there has a Hey Hayit Di'ah, and that Ha'ola comes to tell you the Ola. The Ola is the Ola Tatamid Shel Shachar. From that we learn that, Varech Aleh Ola, that all Korbanot must be brought on the Tamid Shel Shachar. That means that nothing can go before the Tamid Shel Shachar, but also means that nothing can go after the Tamid Shel Ben Arabayim. But you see over there that Rova darshins the extraneous hey of ha'ola, because it could have just said varech aleha ola. The fact that it says ha'ola, he darshins from that. Hakanami. So too over here in our case, ha'ola is a hey hayidia, because the pasuk that speaks to the Kohen's right over here, it says a Kohen amakriv lateish, or ha'ola asher yikriv la'Kohen lo'yeh. So once again, ha'ola means the original ola. It means that only something that was mufrash, lechatchila, to be an ola, does the or of that ola belong to the Kohen. But something that ends up being an ola, it wasn't originally separated or segregated to be an ola. For instance, the case of an asham that was nitak d'riyah, that ended up being an ola, but it wasn't ha'ola. It wasn't originally an ola. It's an ola because something happened to the asham. In that case, the Kohanim will not be entitled to the orot of the korban that was changed now into an ola. So in that case, the motorot, even if they are an olat yachid, nevertheless, they will not qualify for the Kohanim to get the orot because they don't meet the standard of or ha'ola. Ha'ola meaning an ola that was already, or the known ola, something that was made as an ola at the outset, not something that comes or derives from the motorot, these leftovers that were then put into the shofarot in the mikdash, and then used towards the Keitz HaMizbeach. So that's the explanation now of Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. Olat Ish, if it's the personal Ola of an individual, then that Ola is subject to the rule that the skins, the hides, go to the Kohen. On the other hand, if it comes to the Motarot, that's not true because that's Olat Hekdesh. Now, there's two ways to get there. It can be Olat Hekdesh because those go to the Tzibor and they become the Olot of the Tzibor, and that's why they're no longer Olat Ish. Or it could be not precluded from Olat Ish, but rather from Ha'ola. The fact that the Olat Ish also has to qualify or meet the standard of Or Ha'ola. And since the case of the Motorot doesn't meet the standard of Or Ha'ola, something that was originally designated to be an Ola, therefore the Kohanim in that case will not get the Orot. So no matter which way you hold with regards to the Motorot, it still does not qualify to have the hides be given to the Kohanim. Alright, Rabbi Aibo, Amar Rabbi Yanai, Prat the Mapis Ola the Perek Habayit. This comes to exclude a case of a person who dedicates the value to Bedek HaBayit. So now, in terms of Bedek HaBayit, normally you have two options in terms of consecration of things to Hekdesh. You have things which are Kodshei Mizbeach. Normally those are items that can go on the Mizbeach and have the capacity to be put on the Mizbeach and are Ro'ui the Mizbeach. If you're Makdishim, they have Hekdesh Mizbeach, and then they have to be processed in such a manner, brought as a Korban, placed on the Mizbeach. On the other hand, you have a second mechanism for donating to the Mikdash, which is Hekdesh Berek HaBayit, which are monies or value that is donated to the Mikdash for the upkeep of the Mikdash. Exactly what it says here, Berek HaBayit. So now, there is some times where they can overlap. So for instance, if you have a Korban that is already Mukdash the Mizbeach, you have an Ola, you have a Shlamim, you have all different forms of Korbanot that are already Hekdesh Mizbeach. So then, if you're now makdish to that animal, to Berek HaBayit, well, how can it be makdish something that doesn't belong to you? It already has inherent Kedushat HaMizbeach in it. How are you makdish that value to Berek HaBayit? There is no value in it. All the value belongs to Hekdesh already, so what are you being makdish? This is what's known in the Gemara as Hekdesh Ilui. It's placing of Hekdesh on top of something that's already Hekdesh. And that is, whatever retained value that you have in the Korban, That is what you're makdish to bedek habayit. So for instance, in a case of a korban, where it would go totally to the mizbeach, an olam, where it's hekdesh mizbeach, if you're makdish it hekdesh elui, there is still some residual value that belongs to the balim, and that is that they can choose to which kohen they give this korban to process. And that kohen who brings that korban is entitled then to get the benefits or the matnot that derive from that korban. Because that's not a korban that is shayach to the avodah in the mikdash of the day of the Yom Tov of the regel. These are private korbanot. And a kohen who processes that private korban is entitled to take those items. So now the Yisrael carries a certain amount of value in that, since he can distribute the olah to whomever he chooses. That value is something that he can then, first of all, monetize. He can sell it. And since he can monetize it, it has value that he can be makdish to bedek habayit. Or in a case where the person dedicated this as a neder, which means that they're obligated to see that the korban reaches the mizbeach, and if it got lost, then he'd have to replace it. So in that case, he's makdish to bedek habayit, the actual value of the korban. Because the korban itself, even though it's kodesh mizbeach, has monetary value to him, because if it's lost, he's going to have to replace it completely. On the other hand, if he donates it as a netava, where he's not responsible to replace it, in that case, there's no value to him in the korban itself reaching the mizbeach, because he doesn't have to replace it if it gets lost or something happens to it. There still might be some value in terms of the hana'ah that he gets from the korban that he dedicated reaching the mizbeach. But more importantly, there's the tovat hana'ah, which is his power to give this korban to whoever he chooses. So what the Gemara is speaking about is exactly that scenario where he's makpis ola de bedek habayit. He gives the value of an ola to bedek habayit. Again, the ola is valueless because it belongs to kodesh mizbeach. But there's certain aspects of the ola that are still retained that will go to bedek habayit. One of them we just described, which is what's called tovat hana'ah. It's the ability to decide who is going to get the korban. The second value that you have there is the orot, the hides that are not part of kodesh mizbeach, because they do not go on the mizbeach. Those hides also could be dedicated to the bedek habayit. Now, what's interesting about that is that the hides belong to the kohenim. So how can you be makdishit if it belongs to someone else? The answer to that is that the kohenim don't possess the hides until the korban is put on the mizbeach. Before the korban goes on the mizbeach, the kohenim don't own the hides or don't have ba'alut over those hides. So when you're makdish them, the bedek habayit, then you've actually now given to bedek habayit not only a tovat hana'ah, but also the value of the hide that would otherwise now be given to the kohen. Now you've dedicated that to bedek habayit. So now the Gemara says, lo mi bayi l'madamar kodesh bedek habayit tafsi midoraita. I'm not only speaking according to the one who says that when it comes to this hekdesh of kodesh bedek habayit that sits on top of a kodesh mizbeach, that that's a din d'oraita. Because there, certainly, when you are makdishit the bedek habayit, it's tofes. And then the hides are now dedicated to bedek habayit, belong to hekdesh, and the kohen doesn't have a right to take it away from hekdesh. Ela afilu man da'amar lo tafsi, even according to one who says they're not tofes, our Gemara here reads lo tafsi, which would make it sound like they're not tofes, the gamre, means it has no impact whatsoever on the animal. The way that Rashi reads it over here is lo tafsi midoraita. They don't say tofes midoraita, but rather they're only tofes midorabanan. Rashi is doing that to reconcile this with the Gemara in Tmurah, which has a machloket between whether it's tofes midoraita and tofes midorabanan. So in order to have the Gemaras be parallel, that there's a deah that says doraita and derabanan, Rashi reads over here that it's lo tafse midoraita, but it's tafse midorabanan. If you read it as lo tafse klal, then you have either three shitot, or you have a machloket a sugyot between our sugya here and the sugya in Tmurah, because over here the alternate opinion is that it's not tofes in our Gemara. In the Gemara in Tmurah, it's the alternate opinion is that it's tofes midrabanan. And as Rashi explains over here, the Gemara in Tmurah brings the fact that amatbis olah de bedek habayit asur l'shochta. You're not allowed to shecht it ad shetifteh, until you actually redeem it. And if that's the case, it sounds like the bedek habayit is tofes midoraita, because we're blocking your capacity to sheft it. Elim kain, you redeem it. Sounds like there is something to redeem over here. There's value that took hold over here. So that's a question on the position of Ula, who says that there is no hatpasa bedek habayit. The only thing you have is ikuf gizbarim bilvad, The Gizbarim could try to hold it as collateral, but they don't have any real rights over here, or there's no really monetary hektesh that took place over here. So Gemara challenges Ula from that statement that when it comes to Mafis Ula, the Bedek Abayit, you can't shecht it until you redeem it. And he answers that that redemption or pidyon that is needed is a pidyon midrabanan. It's not a pidyon midoraito. So that gives you the two sides of the machloket here. There's someone who believes you have to redeem this midoraito, and there's someone who thinks you have to redeem it midrabanan. And if you have to redeem it midoraito, that means that it was topface midoraito. And the one who thinks that you don't have to redeem it midrabanan thinks that it was only topface midrabanan. Midoraito, it was not topface, but midrabanan, it was topface. Either way, you would have thought possibly, since the tfisah is not a tfisah deoraita, to block the rights of the Kohanim, then you would have thought that that's possibly something that the Kohanim could override in some way. That's hani milei babasar. That's only true with regards to the flesh of the animal. Aval or tafis. On the other hand, by the or, even the one who says that the hektesh berakabait does not take effect on the animal itself, because the animal itself has hektesh mizbeach, and therefore you can't place this hektesh berakabait on top of it. But by the or, where the kelche mizbeach, or the mizbeach itself has no rights in it, even the one who says normally it's not tafis, by the or say it is tafis, and that will block the Kohanim's right to the or. And that's his explanation of Rabbi Yehuda. When it says olat ish, prat olat hekdesh, that's exactly what it means. It's the olah of an individual. Any normal olah that is put on the mizbeach, that or will go to the Kohanim. And if it's olat hekdesh, where the or has already been dedicated, been consecrated to Berek HaBayit, those orot will not go to the Kohanim. Because that was to face before the animal was put on the mizbeach. And that tfisa is strong enough to block the Kohanim's rights. That's what Gemara here says. Even according to one who says that this hektesh berek habayit is only tofes midrabanan, that's only true with regards to items that go to the mizbeach. Items that don't go to the mizbeach, he agrees that it's tofes even midoraito for that mandamar. And as the Rashi phrases over here, aval or delav mamon mizbeachu val Kohanim akati lo zachu be tofus. That it does take effect in kodesh berek habayit will take effect over here. Although, as the Bali Tosafot point out, it's a little strange, because according to the one who says it's tafis midoraita, why do you need a pasuk at all? Because we have a principle with regards to Bedek HaBayit that it requires hamada v'aracha. It has to be able to be stood up and assessed to tell the value of what you need to give to Bedek HaBayit. Once the animal has already been shechted, once the animal is already dead, you can't do hamada v'aracha. And therefore, there's no way that the Kohanim are going to get the Orot in this case, because nowhere to release the Kedusha from them to grant them to the Kohanim. So then why would you have a Hamamin that goes to the Kohanim, and why do you need a Miut then to tell you that it doesn't go to the Kohanim? Although you could argue that the fact that the Kohanim had rights to the Or in the Korban precludes your ability to be Matpis on them, the Berek HaBayit. So the Pasuk comes to teach you that that Hatpasa is successful, and it does block the Kohanim's right to the Korban. And so it's telling you, despite the fact that the Kohanim have rights to the Or, those rights only kick in at a later time, and therefore the Hatpasar, Berek HaBayit, precedes their rights in the Or, and then it blocks their ability to get access to that Or afterwards. And that's the Chiddush of Olat Ish, not Olat Hekdesh. It's actually teaching you that, that the Orot are sufficiently not belonging to the Kohanim at that point in time, that you can't be Makdish them, the Berek HaBayit, and it will be Tofes. Now you have two different explanations as to the understanding of what Rabbi Yehuda said in the Braita, but Olat Ish, Prat Olat Hekdesh. V'chein amar Rav Nachman amar Rav Avua, Prat Olat Haba'a min HaMotarot. He gives the same explanation that we saw from Rav Chia Bar Yosef before. Rav Nachman amar Rav Avua gives that same explanation. So amar Rav Amnuna, Rav Nachman, Kiman. Who are you subscribing to? In your explanation here, who are you explaining this according to? Rabbi Yehuda. You're clearly explaining it according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says, Olat Ish Prat Olat Hekdesh, Ha Hadarbe. He retracted his position. The Tanya, Shisha L'Nidava. So the Mishnah in Shkalim tells us that there were 13 shofarot in the Mikdash. They were the equivalent of stucco boxes that were narrow at the top, wide at the bottom, so people could put coins into them. 6 out of those 13 were L'Nidava, were for items that were going to be put on, Ketz HaMizbeach, for Korbanot Ola. And the shofarot included Taklin Chadatin, the new Chatzi Shekel that you were bringing in, Taklin Atikin, Chatzi Shekel of last year that you didn't bring, Kinin, those who have to bring birds, goes leola, someone who brought a nidava of birds, they puts the money into this canister. Etzim, he promised or dedicated etzim to the mizbech. Livona, frankincense. Zahav la kaporet, he dedicated gold for the kaporet. So then, in addition to those seven that we just enumerated, there's six nidava, which are associated with different things that we explained before that end up in these situations, including a sham shenitak d'riyah, and a chatat that has excesses associated with it, if it was lost and has excess money. There's a machloket there in shkalim as to what exactly are going to those six, but those are shisha l'nidava. L'ola me'va min amutarot. Those are used for the olot that come from the excesses. Shlo yu kohanim zaka'in be'ora. The reason that they do that or place them in there is because they're different than a normal ola. A normal ola, the kohanim are entitled to the or. When it comes to these olot, the kohanim are not entitled to the or. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says over here there were six that were separate. Amar lo Rabbi Nechemia, v'amri lo Rabbi Shimon. So then he's challenged by his peers, either Rabbi Nechemia or Rabbi Shimon. Im kein bitalta midrasho shel Yehoyada ha-kohen. If that is the case, then you have eliminated the drasha of Yehoyada ha-kohen, who is the kohen gadol that appears in the Haftorah that we read for Parshat Shkalim. The story is told twice, once in Melachim Bet, and also in Divrei Hayamim, with slight differences between them. We spent much time on that in Masechet Shkalim, determining or trying to understand the differences of the Lashon in each of those. He was in the time of Yoyash, the king Yoyash, who came to power when he was very young, and Yoyada Kohen Gadol was his advisor and helped him along. And then once Yoyash got older, he charged Yoyada Kohen Gadol shaping up the Mikdash and making sure that the monies that were brought by the people went to Bedek Abayit. And then as part of that it says, Kesef Asham, Kesef Chataot, Lo Yuva Beit Hashem, La Kohanim Yiyu. The monies that were dedicated for the Asham and the Chatat will not be brought to the Beit Hashem. Instead, they will go to the Kohanim. Now that's impossible because Asham and Chatat don't go to the Kohanim. So then the drasha of Yoyada HaKohen is, it's not the Mishnah, Ze midrasha darash Yoyada HaKohen. This is the midrash that Yoyada HaKohen was doresh. Asham hu, Ashom, Asham LaHashem. So the pasuk has two statements. It has one is an Asham hu. If it is an Asham, then the Asham belongs to the Kohen, because that we have kachatat kasham Torah chatahem a Kohen asher yichaper bo lo yiyeh. So we already have the fact that if it's an Asham, it belongs to the Kohen. But then the pasuk ends off with Ashom Asham LaHashem, that the Asham belongs to Hashem. So how could it be that an Asham belongs to Hashem and belongs to the Kohen? Koba mishum chatat mishum Asham. Anything that comes because of a chatat or because of an Asham, which is what the pasuk in Melachim Bet, Perek Yud Bet, pasuk Yud Zayin says, that kesef achatat and the kesef of the Asham will not be for Beit Hashem, but rather to the Kohanim. That's a situation where the chatat and the Asham, something happened, and now those excesses are ilakach bo olot. They purchase with those motorot olot, and when it comes to those olot, a basar lashem, ora lekohanim. The basar goes to the mizbeach, which is to Hashem, and the or, the hide, goes to the Kohanim. So in that way you accomplish both parts of the pasuk. Asham hu, that goes to the Kohanim, that's the or. The Ashom Hashem Lashem, that is the basar. It's not true by an Asham itself, but it is true by an Asham that then was converted into an Olah, or similarly with a Chatat that was converted into an Olah. Over there you do have this participation, and that's the meaning of the Pasuk in Lachim Bet, that the Kesef Asham and the Kesef Chatat, Lo Yiva Beit Hashem, the Kohanim Yiyu. Kohanim Yiyu doesn't mean that they belong to the Kohanim, it's going on the Mizbeach. But the Orot will belong to the Kohanim. If that's the case, then Rabbi Yehuda is disproved from his position that the Olot Nidava, that went into the Shofarot and Nidava, those hides did not go to the Kohanim. Over here you have the Drusha of Yoyada Kohen. It says that they do go to the Kohanim. And that's not distinct from Olat Ish. So Amalei Elamar B'may Mukimla. So Rav Nachman says to Rav Amnuna, oh, if that's the case, how do you explain Olat Ish, what it's coming to say? Amalei Mukminele B'makdish Nechasav. I explained it in a case where the individual was makdish all of his possession. So an individual who says, I'm makdish, everything I own, to hekdish, kiddur Rabbi Yeshua, and following the position of Rabbi Yeshua, it's none. We have a Mishnah in Shkalim, Hamakdish nechasav, someone who dedicates all of his property, all of his possessions to Hekdesh. Vayuben veimot aruyot legabei mizbeach. If he has within these possessions animals that are ra'oy the mizbeach, these are things that could be korbanot. Zicharim unikevot. Some of them are male, some of them are female. Rabbi Eliezer omer, zicharim imachru l'tzorchei olot, that the zicharim, the male korbanot, will be sold, and the proceeds from them will be then dedicated to Perek Habayit or to Hekdesh, but they will be sold to people who need to bring olot on the mizbeach. So you'll sell them to individuals who are bringing olot, and then the proceeds from that will be dedicated to Perek Habayit. Nikevot, the females cannot be sold as olot, but rather imachru l'tzorchei zibchei shalmeim. They will be sold for shlamim, meaning people who need to bring a korban shlamim will purchase these from this individual. Udmehem iplu imshar nechasin the Perek Habayit. And as I already said, the monies or the proceeds from these sales go along with the rest of his possessions to Perek Habayit. Rabbi Lanzer's position is premised on the fact that when a person is makdish something, he is makdish to a singular destination or a singular recipient. And over here, what he's suggesting is that the only recipient he meant when he was makdish his possessions was Perek Habayit. And therefore, none of these end up in the Mizbeach. They're sold to people to use them because you're not allowed to be makdish Perek Habayit, mimim. So those mimim are then sold to be used as kodshei Mizbeach. But the proceeds go to Perek Habayit. Rabbi Yeshua, on the other hand, is of a different opinion, and he believes that people do are makdish different aspects of their possessions to different destinations, that they will be makdish part of it to Perek Habayit and part of it to the Mizbeach. So he says, Omer, Zecharim Atzmam Yikruvu Alot. They themselves will be put on the Mizbeach. Nikevot, the female animals, Yim Kiru L'Tzorchei Shlamim. They will be sold for Shlamim. So even though he believes that the animals can go to Kodshei Mizbeach, he still distinguishes between an Ula and a Shlamim. That is because an Ula, the entirety of the animal goes on the Mizbeach. On the other hand, when it comes to a Shlamim, only a portion of it goes on the Mizbeach. And we're looking into the mindset of this individual who is Makdish, all of his possessions to Hekdesh, he intended for them to go in their totality to Hekdesh. So just like by Perek Habayit, he meant for all the monies to go to Perek Habayit. So do the Kodshei Mizbeach, he intended for them to go completely to Hekdesh. So that can be done with regards to Olot, but in the case of Shlamim, that is not the case. So by Olot, he'll take the animals and put them on his back as Olot. By Shlamim, he will sell the animals, by Yabid Mehem, Olot. And then he will take those proceeds and purchase Olot. And then those Olot will go on the Mizbeach. V'shar nechasim yiplu to Perek Habayit. And the remainder of his possessions will go to Perek Habayit. Ve'afilu. The Rabbi Yeshua, Damar, Adam Cholek, Hekdesho, even according to Rabbi Yeshua says that a person will bifurcate the recipients of his Hekdesh, meaning that part will go to Kodshei Mizbeach, part will go to Kodshei Perek Habayit, Hani Milei Basar. That's only true with regards to the flesh of the animal. Aval Or Tafis. When it comes to the Or, Perek Habayit takes effect over there. So even though Rabbi Yeshua believes that those animals that are Zecharim go on the Mizbeach, nevertheless, he says that the hides of those animals don't go to the Mizbeach, they go to Perek Habayit. And so now you've simulated that case that we had before when a person was Makdish to Perek Habayit. Here he does it in a different manner, but ends up with the same result, which is that he was Makdish all his possessions. So those Zecharim, according to Rabbi Yeshua, end up on the Mizbeach, but the Orot still belong to Perek Habayit, and the Kohanim will not get possession of them. And that's how he explains Rabbi Yehuda's position, where it's Olat Ish and not Olat Hekdesh. Over here, the Orot will not go to the Kohanim. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he was the alternate opinion over here. Frat lo'olat gerim. He comes to say that it comes to exclude olat gerim. Amalei Rav Simai bar Chilkai l'Ravina, atu ger lav ishu? Why is a ger not included? Why is a ger not an ish? What makes a ger different than olat ish? So why should you exclude olat ger? The Amalei prat ger shemate. Now we're speaking about a case of a ger who passed away. Ve'ein lo yorshim, and he has no inheritors. A ger, unlike Yisrael, who has no inheritors, has no family then. And all of his possessions become basically hefker. Any Jew who passes away always has yorshim. Because if you go all the way back up to the level of the Shvatim, at some point he's related to someone from Klal Yisrael. But a ger who has terminated his biological familial relationships, his yichus now starts, he is the starting point of his yichus. So if he has yorshim, then he has relatives that are Yerushim. But he has no Yerushim, then he has nobody to inherit him, and his items are hefker. So that's what it means. Olat ish, olat that belongs to someone,
Enat ulat ger shemek, which is basically an ulat hefker, where there's no baalim, there's no owner of the korban ula. In that case, the kohanim are not entitled to the or. Tan rabbanan ulat ish ein li ela ulat ish. That's only true of an ulat that is brought by a man. Ulat. Now over here, the word gerim is very difficult. Rashi takes it out of the girsa and he says it should be ulat nashim ba'abadim. Skip the word gerim, because otherwise you could ask the question we asked before. Ger lav isho? Ger is also an ish. So gerim, similarly, do not belong over here. Some say it's just bought agrav gerora, which is that many times we find gerim, nashim, abadim brought together as a package in the Mishnah. So gerim were thrown in here, even though it's not meaningful. If you look on the margin by Mesorat HaShas, he brings the girsa, what similarly is the girsa of the Rambam, which is that he had ovdei kochavim. So that was... I only know about Olat Ish, Olat Ovdei Kochavim, Nashim V'Abadim Minayin. How do I know they also, those Orot, go to the Kohanim? Tamal Omar, Or HaOla Riba. So there's a Riboy in the Pasuk, because it could have just said Ora, or it could have said Or Olato, when instead it says Or HaOla. The fact that it says HaOla, and it says Or HaOla, those are a Riboy. The first Riboy is, that includes Nashim, Avadim, and if you think that the girsas of Dei Kochavim, if they bring in a korban olah bin a davar, the kohenim get the hide. Im kein matam olamar olat ish. So then what's the point of having olat ish? Olah shalta the ish. It is an olah that goes and is successful at being an olah for the balim that brought it. Prat. That comes to include a case of nishkata chutz lizmana. Sadei dehar and makshevet pigol of chutz lizmano. Or chutz limkoma. Or chutz limkomo. Shaloyu Kohanim Zakim Baora. Kohanim there will not get the or because the Korban is not successful at being an Ola for the Ish, for the Baalim. It's already Pasul, and the Baalim get no credit for the Korban that is brought. Yachol, if that's the case, Sheani Mirabe, Shenishkata, Shalo Lishma, I would include. Now, include means I would include in the Miut, or you can see the alternate gear, so is Sheani Mima'it. I would also exclude a case of Shenishkata, Shalo Lishma. This goes back to what I discussed in the Mishnah, about the fact that if you say olat ish, that it's successful at the balim discharging their obligation, then olat shelo lishma should not grant the kohanim rights to the or. And that's exactly what the brayta says over here. You would think that shenishkata shelo lishma also has no entitlement of the kohanim to the orot, however, lo al tal balim, because it's not successful at discharging the obligation of the balim. Below Yehu Kohanim Zakim Ba'orah. And therefore, the Kohanim will have no rights to the Or. Tamul Omar, Or Ha'ula Mikol Makom. That we have this additional reboy of Or Ola to tell you, no matter what, the Or Ha'ula goes to the Kohanim. So again, here, there are other ways you could have phrased it. And the fact that it didn't rephrase it that way now gives you extraneous language, and that extraneous language is what they're darshaning over here. So it may not be the word, the hay itself that they're darshaning. It might be the excess. First of all, instead of saying or ra, it said or ha'ula. And then instead of saying or olato, it just says or ola generically, rather than olato, his ola. So both of those give you the right to the limut. So it's really this continuation of the braita that is what the Mishnah was referencing to. But it said this is the proof to the fact that in the case of an ola shelo lishma, the orot go to the kohanim. In a case where it's in Ola, Psula, the Orot don't go to the Kohanim. Or Ha'ula, Enli Ela Or Ha'ula. So now, if I read that literally, the Braita says, Or Ola means only the Orot, the hides of Olot, go to the Kohanim. Orot Kodshei Kodeshim Minayin. How do I know that the hides of Kodshei Kodeshim also belong to the Kohanim? Tamal Omar, Or Ha'ula, Asher Hikriv. So then you have the additional language of Asher Hikriv, which makes it sound like Kol HaKorbanot. Anything that goes on the Mizbeach is included over here. Well, if that's true, Yachol Shani Mirabe Af Kodshim Kalim. So then why is it just Kodshei Kodeshim? Even Kodshim Kalim should be included. Tamal Omar Ola. So there the word Ola anchors you and says, Ma Ola Kodshei Kodeshim, Af Kodshei Kodeshim. So the Ola qualifies the Asher Hikriv and tells you that the Asher Hikriv has to be Domeh, the Ola, which means that it's Kodshei Kodeshim. That's the way that the Tanakama learns the fact that the hides belong to the Kohanim, both by the Ola, which is explicit in the Pasuk, as well as by the Kodshei Kodeshim, which is a limud from Asher Hikriv, and Kodshim Kalim, it does not belong to the Kohanim, because here, the Pasuk says, Ola, And Asher Kriv has to be Domed Ola, it has to be Kodshei Kodeshim, by Kodshim Galim, the Baalim get the Orot, and not the Kohanim. Rabbi Shmuel Omer. Rabbi Shmuel has an alternate way to learn this. Or HaOla, in the Ola, HaOla. I only know about the Or of the Ola. Orot Kodshei Kodeshim Minayin. How do I know that Kodshei Kodeshim, also the Orot Kodekohanim? V'dinu, Ma Ola, Shalom Zachu Bivsara, by the Ola, where they have no rights to the flesh of the animal, Zachu Be'ora, they were entitled to the hides, Kodshei Kodeshim, Shazachu Bivsaran, where you do have the rights to the Basar, then, Enudin, Shazachu Be'oran, then certainly they should be entitled to the Or in that case. But then Rabbi Shmuel brings, V'izbeach Yuchiach, maybe the Izbeach would dissuade you from thinking that. Shazacha be'basar, by the Ola, the Mizbeach gets the Basar, below Zacha be'or, but does not get the hide. Malim Mizbeach shekein lo Zacha be'mikzat, the Mizbeach never gets the Or at all. Tomar b'Kohanim shezachu be'mikzat, the Kohanim, we do find that there are times where they get the Or, for instance, in the case of the Ola, which is explicit in the Psukim. So therefore, the Mizbeach can't be a disproof to the logic that we're dictating by the Kohanim. So that's phrase and hope, zachu b'mikzat, zachu b'kulei. Since in certain instances they get the Or, so too in other instances, like the case of Kodshei Kodeshim, they will also be entitled to the Or, where there's more reason to believe that they have rights to the Or than in the case of the Ola. This is basically a more expanded version of our Mishnah. Rabbi Omer, kol atzmo, lo tzrachnu ela l'or ha'ula bilfad. The only reason you need the pasuk is to tell you that the hide of the Ola goes to the Kohanim. Because without that pasuk, we would have known everything else. The only reason we need that pasuk is to tell us about the Or Ha'ula. The reason being is, Shebechol Makom Ha'or Melei Chachar Basar. Because in every instance, the hide follows the flesh. Parim Nisrafim, Usurim Nisrafim. When it comes to the Chata'ot HaPnimiyot and the Chata'at of Yom HaKippurim, so that's the Sirim and the Parim of Yom HaKippurim, the Sirim and Nisrafim, Parim Nisrafim, there, hein v'orotehem nisrafim imahem. Meaning the basar and the orot are burnt together. Again, the orot follow the basar. Chatat v'asham, zivchei sham yitzibor, matana l'kohen. They belong to the kohen. Ratzu mafshitin utam, lo ratzu ochlim utam agav oran. They have a choice. Since they belong to the kohen and the basar is going to the kohen, they can either flay the animal, separate away the hide, and then eat the basar, or if they wanted to, they can eat the basar agav oran. They can leave it attached to the or, and they could cook it together with the basar, and eat it along with the basar. It's their choice. It belongs to them. Kodshim kalim lebaalim. Kodshim kalim belong to the baalim. Ratzu mafshitin utan. If they want, they can flay them. Ratzu ochlim utan agav oran. Or if they so choose, they can eat it with the skin or the hide still attached. So since they have the right to the basar, and the or can be taken along with the basar, then they can also make the choice to take the or away and use it or utilize it any way which they like. So you see here that in every situation, basar and or are similar in their din. When it's nisrafim, they're both nisrafim. When it's nechal kohanim, they're both given to the kohanim. When it's nechal balim, they're both given to the balim. Aval ola, you have a problem. Nemar ba, bifshit et hola, v'nitach ota v'nitacha. It says you will flay the animal, and then you will quarter it into its pieces. So now, the Torah tells you to put the nitachim on the mizbeach, but it never tells you what to do with the or. Yocholo yuhi kohanim zakiin ba'ora. So you would think that maybe the hide would not belong to the kohanim. Tamalomer, that's what our pasuk teaches you. Or ola, asher yikriv, the or ola that is placed on the mizbeach, that will belong to the kohanim. So from there you learn that the kohanim are entitled to the or of the ola, and this is the only place where the basar and the or do not go to the same place. The basar goes to the mizbeach, the or goes to the kohanim, and that's why you need a specific pasuk to teach you that limud. So then it says, lo yeh, it will belong to the kohen. Prat l'tvuyom u'mukusar kipurim v'onein. Lo yeh means that the kohen is entitled to the or, but that it excludes a tvuyom, mukusar kipurim, and onein, like we've seen before. Shechol lo yizku b'basar. You would think possibly they do not participate in the basar, shul achila, because the purpose or the utility in the basar is consumption. They are precluded from consuming kodashim. So maybe that's where they are precluded from chalukah, or participating in the chalukah, because they are not ru'uyim le'achila. But isku ba'or, she'enu le'achila. Maybe they should be entitled to the or, because the purpose or the utility of the or is not for consumption, but rather for hana'ah. So maybe over there, they're not precluded from that because their tum'ah is associated with the problem in achilah. It's not a problem with getting hana'ah. Tamad lomar, lo iyeh. That's what the lawyer comes to teach you. Prat mechusar kippurim utvuyom ba'unein. Meaning that the one who is makriv, the one who can't do akrava, lo iyeh. The orb will belong to that individual. And since the tvuyom, the mechusar kippurim and unein can't do the akrava, they're also not entitled to the or that comes as a gift to the Kohanim. The Tanakama, Nami Tipukle Midina. The Tanakama, why doesn't he subscribe to the Kal V'chomer that was brought by Rabbi Ishmael? Why does he have to go through a specific limud of Or Allah Sheikriv and use the Psukim to teach you the fact that the Kodshei Kodashim are included? Why doesn't he just say it from the Kal V'chomer that Rabbi Ishmael suggested? The Gemara answers, Milta Da'achi B'Kal V'chomer, Torach V'Kotav Lakra. Sometimes, someday, you can learn logically from a Kal V'chomer, the pasuk goes out of its way to write it anyway. Rabbi Shmuel, Hi Asher Hikriv, Mayovitle. Rabbi Shmuel, what does he do with the Asher Hikriv? The Tanakama uses the Asher Hikriv to teach him about Kodshei Kodashim. Rabbi Shmuel learns it from a Kal V'chomer, what does he do with the extraneous words of Asher Hikriv? So he uses that, Prat L'Tvuyom U'Mukusir Kippurim V'Onei. He uses it to exclude those that are precluded from being in the Chalukah, of the old road, because Asheri Kriv, they have to have the capacity to do Hakrava, and Tvoyom, Chusa Kippurim, and Onein can't do that. But typically, me Lo'iyah, why didn't he learn it out from Lo'iyah, like Rabbi did? Why does he have to learn it out from Asheri Kriv? Rabbi Shmuel Tame, Rabbi Shmuel's the Shittato, something that we already saw earlier. Dam Rabbi Yochanan Mishun Rabbi Ishmael, Nemer Bo'ula Lo'iyah, the post of that we are been speaking about throughout this daf, which is the entitlement of the Kohanim, to the Olam, a Kohen, a Makriv, a Ladish, or a Olam, Sheikriv, la Kohen, lo yeh. We also have the Pasuk, which we quoted before, about the Asham, which is Kachatat, Kasham, Torah, Chat, Nahem, Kohen, a Sheikhaper, bo, lo yeh. So, Rabbi Yishmael, as we saw earlier in the Sefta, says, there's a Gzeir Shava. There's Nemar, bo, la, lo yeh. Nemar, ba, Sham, lo yeh. Malahalan, Atzmutav, Mutarim. Just like over there, the Atzmot, the bones, are Mutarim. Afkan, Atzmutav, Mutarim. So to over here, the Atzmot of Mutarim, meaning that just like by the Asham, the Atzmot of Mutarim, so too by the Ola, the Atzmot of Mutarim, the Hana or Mutarim, the Kohanim. We saw the Machlok between the Rebbeim of Rashi who said that that was obvious by the Asham, because it's Eden. Of course, if it's Eden, then the bones are open to Hana for the Kohanim. And that's why the Lo'iyah of Asham teaches you the Lo'iyah of the Ola. Or the Limud of Rashi, which is that the extraneous language of Lo'iyah of Asham is what teaches you this din by Asham. And then from Asham, we learn to all the other korbanot, the fact that the atzamot are mutarim, but it really comes from the extraneous lashon of lo yeh. So that's the limud that Rabbi Shmuel uses lo yeh for. So mufne, as we said earlier, it has to be that these words are extraneous to allow for the gzeres shava, because ilo mufne, if it was not that they were extraneous words, ikal mifrach, then you have a way to undermine gzeres shava, which is mala Asham, Shukim basaro mutar. So that, how could you prove anything from an Asham to an Olah? An Asham to basar is mutar, so maybe that's why the Atzamot are also mutarim to the Kohen, or also belong to the Kohenim. But by an Olah, where that's not the case, maybe not. So lo yeh, kra yuteiru. So lo yeh is extraneous, and when it's extraneous, you have a gzer shava that doesn't have to stand the test of logic. It's a gzer shava that can even override logic, or even go against logic, because it is a gzer shava. When you have a gzer shava that's not mufnei, then you have to meet the test of logic, and that's why it's saying here that you need the words to be extraneous. But since Rabbi Shmuel uses the lo yeh for that gzer shava, it's not available for him to exclude the tvoyom, the mechusar kippurim, and the unein, and that's why he uses that sheri kriv to get to that conclusion. Kol ha-kodashim shira ben psul kodem lev shetan, any of the kodashim where the psul happens before they were flayed, ein orotehem the kohanim. Kohanim are not entitled to the orot. They go out with the basar, the srefa. La'charev shaitan, if the psul only happened after they were flayed, orotehem, the kohanim. The basar goes to the srefa, but the orot goes to the kohanim. Omer Rabbi Chanina skana kohanim. Miyamai lo ra'iti or shiotzei the beit ha'srefa. I never witnessed any or any hide being taken out to the beit ha'srefa. Omer Rabbi Kiva, midrarav lamadnu, shemavshit et ha'bechor. If someone flays the bechor, v'nimsa treifa, and then you find out that it was a treifa after you flay the animal. The treifa wasn't visible beforehand. After you flay it and open up the animal, you see it was a treifa.
Shi'oto HaKohanim Be'oro, that the Kohanim get the right to the Ur. Because Rabbi Hanina Sgan HaKohanim says he never saw an Ur by itself going out the Sreifa. If you believe that by a Bechor, the Ur, after it was taken out, they find it's a Treifa, that that's deemed to be a Psol before Hefshet. Because when he takes off the Ur and then looks inside and finds that it's a Treifa, it didn't become a Treifa now. It was a Treifa beforehand. It was a Treifa even before you flayed the Ur. So you could have said retroactively, this was a Psol before the Hefshet. And therefore, it should go out to burn. But the skin at that point is already separated away from the Basar. The fact that Rabbi Hanina Sgan HaKohanim gives witness to the fact that he never saw any hides being taken out by themselves shows you that even in a situation where it's found to be a treifa, the or still goes to the Kohanim, and we don't deem it as if it was a psul before Hefshet, it's deemed to be a psul after Hefshet. Chamim omrim, ein lo reinu raya. You can't bring any proof from the fact that you didn't see it. To make a statement that something never happens is a very difficult statement. That means you need to be there 24-7, always have seen it, and never had anything that precipitated a case that was relevant to this situation. So the Kohanim says, maybe that never happened during his lifetime, or maybe he wasn't there when it did happen, or maybe he didn't take notice of it. Just because he didn't see it doesn't mean it didn't happen, and you can't prove anything. Ella, you'd say the Beit HaSreifa. They say that it goes after the Beit HaSreifa, even though the Or is already separated away from the animal, nevertheless, you'd say the Beit HaSreifa, because the Treifa is an indication of a Psul, if they have Sheit, and therefore it's going to go the Beit HaSreifa along with the Basar. So the Gemara says over here, Koshelo Zachar Mizbeach Bibsara, that is a quote from our Mishnah that we started today's daf with, that any time the Mizbeach doesn't end up with the Basar, Lo Zachu HaKohanim Be'ora, the Kohanim are not entitled to the hide. Ve'afa Gav De'afshete Lo'or Kodim Zrika, even if the hide was flayed before Zrikat Hadam. So it sounds from there that even though the hide and the Basar were separated beforehand, nevertheless, the Mizbeach has to get the Basar in order for the Kohanim to get the Or. Or in essence, they have the same din. Despite the fact that they've been separated, their din is joined. Mani, who's the author of such a position? Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimoni. That's authored by Rabbi Shimon Elazar. Damar ena dam ratzeh al Or bifnei atzmo. That Zrikat Adam does not have the capacity to free the Orot from their status of Ekdesh and grant them to the Kohanim independent of the Basar. Even though they've already been separated, nevertheless, the Dam only functions to help the Basar, and then the Basar is what frees the Orot. And over here, since the Basar doesn't have a Mizbeach, the Orot are not released to the Kohanim. Ema Seifa, what are you going to do with our mission over here that says, Kol HaKodeshim Shir Ben Psul Kodem Ef Sheitan, if the Psul happens before they're flayed, Ein Orotam the Kohanim, then the Orot, the hides do not belong to the Kohanim. Lachar Ef Sheitan, after they've already been flayed, Orotehem the Kohanim. The Orot go to the Kohanim. So that is Atan the Rabbi. That sounds like Rabbi Damar. Hadam Ratzeh al Or Bifnei Atzmo. Because over here, once they are separated, the Or and the Basar, then the Orot, even if the Basar is found to be Pasul, and doesn't end up in Mizbeach, nevertheless the Orot are released to the Kohanim, based on the Zrikat Hadam. So that's Rabbi's position. Again, we're going to see in a second, in a Braita, this machlok between Rabbi and Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon. What the Gemara points out is now you have a problem. Reisha, the Mishnah we started today's daf on, which is the Reisha, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, is attributed, has attribution, or is authored by Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon. Seifa, the Mishnah we just read, is following the position of Rabbi. So how are you going to reconcile that if you have a Mishnah that is authored by two different Tanaim, or the positions of two different Tanaim? Amar Abaye, it's Seifa Rabbi, Reisha Nami Rabbihi. Since this Seifa, the Mishnah we just read, is clearly in the position of Rabbi, that means that the earlier Mishnah that we read is also within the position of Rabbi. Umode Rabbi, and Rabbi agrees, She'ein Efshet Kodem Zrika. Rabbi agrees that you don't flay the animal before Zrikat Adam. In normal circumstances, you will not flay the animal before Zrikat Adam, because that would cause a huge delay between the Shkita of the animal and the Zrikat Adam. So, in normal circumstances, the basar and the or will always be together. And therefore, that which the Mishnah states is in a normal case. When the basar doesn't end up in the Mizbeach, then the orot are not released. Because in almost all instances, the orot and the basar are going to be together. It happens to be that if, wherever reason, there was hefshet, there was a flaying of the animal before the Zrikat Adam,
then Rabbi says that it will work, the Svikat Adam, to release the Or. And that's what's being said in our Mishnah over here. That's not the normal case. And if it happens to happen that way, then we will release it to the Kohanim. And that is because, in general, any psul that is called Svikah is also going to be called Hefshet, since the Hefshet is only done normally after the Svikat Adam. And the Mishnah that we started today's daf on, as Rashi says, Dibra Behoveh, speaking about a normal case. It's not speaking about this unusual case where the Hefshet did happen before the Svikat Adam, which is the case that's being addressed by the Mishnah that we just read. Rava Amar, Rava argues on Abaye and says, Midereshu Balazib Rebbe Shimon, since the Mishnah at the beginning of the daf was attributed to Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, Seifanami, this Mishnah that we just read as well, Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, is also going to be attributed to Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon. My kodem hefshet. So then what does it mean in the Mishnah prior to hafshata? Umay achar hefshet. And what does it mean after hefshet? Meaning that the Mishnah seems to indicate if it happened before it was flayed, or after it's flayed, it makes a difference, which implies that Zrikat Adam will free the or without the basar. Shinir ula hefshet. When it says lifnei hefshet, means shinir ula hefshet is the point in time for it was capacity to have hefshet. And the other one is achar shinir ula hefshet, after they reached the capacity of hafshata. So it's not literally before it was flayed or after it's flayed, but it's rather when it reaches the time when you normally flay it, that is post zrika. Or is it before the time that you are going to flay it? And that is post zrikat adam. Zrikat adam is usually what releases the korban for the basar to go either on the mizbeach or to the kohanim, and the orot to go to the kohanim. So that's post zrikat adam. So when the psul happens post zrikat adam, in that case, even if the or is still together with the basar, since it happened post zrikat adam, the basar had a hartza'ah for sha'achat, it was a shat kosher for the basar, that releases the orot to the kohanim. And even if the psul happens in the basar while the orot are still on it, we'll do the flaying after the animal is already psul, and we'll give the orot to the kohanim. Because at that point, the orot have already been released to the kohanim, and they are no longer subject to din mekdesh, because there was a shat kosher for the korban. On the other hand, if it happens before the zrikat adam, that's in a case where the or and the basar are inseparable, and the basar doesn't reach a point where it's heter l'mizbeach. In that case, even if the or was separated away from the basar, the zrikat adam will still not help you in that situation, because the basar never reached a point of heter before the or was taken off, and the or needs the basar in order for the or to be released to the kohanim. Now the Rambam says, my Rabbi, or my Rabbi Elazar Rebbe Shimon. You're mentioning these two opinions. What are these opinions, or where do they derive from? Titania, the Braita that brings us this machloket. Rabbi Omer, Adam Miratzeh Or Bifnei Atzmo. Zrikat Adam has the capacity to release the Or by itself, meaning independently of the Basar. Ukushrima Basar. So therefore, if it's still attached to the Basar, Nolad Bo Psul, if their Psul happens, whether it's Kodem Ben Kodem Zrika, Ben Achar Zrika, it takes on the same character as the basar. So if it is on the basar before the Zrikat Adam, and there's a psul, just like the basar goes to the Beit HaSrifa, so does the or. Post Zrikat Adam, if they're still attached together, then if the basar is psul, so too the or becomes psul, and they both are yotze the Beit HaSrifa. On the other hand, if the or is separated away from the basar, if the psul only happens after that point in time, whether before Zrika or after Zrika, the or then goes to the Kohanim. The other hand, Rabbi Elazar Rebbe Shimon Omer, ain't the dam ratzel or bifnei atzmo. The dam has no capacity to release the or without the basar. Okushima basar. Therefore, if it's together with the basar, nolad bo psul kodem Zrika, if there's a psul before Zrika, are you kiyotzebo? Then it has the same din as the basar itself. And since the basar will never get a shat ahead there, because Zrika won't help it, then the or will never be released as well. And therefore it's kiyotzebo, and they're both yotzeh the Beit HaSrifa. If you did have shat before the Zrikat Adam, and the basar goes pasul, still the or would also be pasul, because there's nothing that's going to be matir the or. It doesn't have the basar with which to be matir itself. Achar Zrika, urtzar basar achat, yafshitenu, voro lekohanim. If it happens post-Zrikat Adam, Zrikat Adam already released the Basar. By releasing the Basar, it also releases the Or, the Kohanim. And therefore, even if they're still attached, when the Basar becomes Pasol, the Or has a separate din. It can be separated away from the Basar. You can do the flaying even after it is Pasol, and give the hide to the Kohanim. So the Zrikat Adam, as long as the Basar and the Or were together, releases the Or. And at that point in time, even if they're still attached, or can be given to the Kohanim. So for Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, the only thing matters is whether the basar was pasul before Zrikat Adam or post Zrikat Adam. And for Rabbi, the only thing matters is whether the psul happened before the Hefshet or after the Hefshet. Okay, we're going to stop here 10 lines down on the top of Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph. Tomorrow is going to continue to try to understand this machloket between Rabbi and Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, by comparing it to other machlokot of Tanaim.